A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
We're going to ride till we can't ride no more, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Good comebacks for the Gunners and the Blades. Liverpool set a new record and Everton got another home win. Hi, everybody. All four of us are here because that's what a ramble's all about.
Hello.
I'd like to start by saying that Luke Moore's mate Will Hughes got a goal.
He did. I sent him a message. He did not reply.
No. Like a check, it bounced back.
It was good because I felt the real weight of history on my shoulders after Will Hughes said in the interview for Football Ramble Daily that he was looking to more add more goals to his game this season. Then they had a terrible start. He missed that open goal. And then he actually got one.
Did you just message him saying, "Hey, five of them a season, you're away"?
Yeah. And he replied saying, "New phone, who did?"
Marcus Speller says you've got to get five this season.
Yeah. Oh, more on that later, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Stick around for that, guys. Yeah. If you stick around for nothing else,
Are we counting that invisible hat-trick he scored on the weekend or not?
Oh, here we go. The mind games have started.
What's he going on about?
Mind games. That's
about
a very generous way of putting it, Luke.
Pete and I having mind games over a situation we have no control over.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as we get his number, we do have control over it.
All right, well, you're on that job, as you always are. All right, then, let's go straight to the North London derby. Great comeback from the Gunners. Emery started with Lacazette, Aubameyang and Pepe, Jim.
He did.
Bloody yeah. Nora, you were there.
I was there. It was absolutely electric. It was brilliant.
The atmosphere looked really good on TV.
It was great. So that was a lot of fun.
Should have packed the back four with Lacazette.
Yeah. Well, Lacazette just defends from wherever. One of the things I love about Lacazette is there are times where he's just like, "Oh, come on," and he will take a game by the scruff of the neck, and that is so important. Mm. I feel like Emery started with Guendouzi, Xhaka and Torreira in the middle to obviously try and make that very strong, but I feel like one of those players probably needs to be sacrificed for a bit of a more creative player.
I think Xhaka needs to be sacrified for the safety of everyone else in the league.
Yeah, it's funny.
How is he still playing football like that?
It's a phenomenal thing with Xhaka. He splits the camp so much. Like everyone that's ever managed him seems to love him. He plays pretty much every minute for Arsenal and for Switzerland, and yet that penalty was a ridiculous thing to give away. And I find it very frustrating that it seems like he is one of those sort of untouchable players. Because I agree, if I were tinkering with the team, he would be the one that would get the elbow. But I don't really see that happening anytime soon. It's his leadership qualities on the pitch that we're maybe not so aware of, but it's...
He just interprets every game like it's Rambo First Blood Part 2, where he's going back up to Vietnam and trying to find POWs,
I
and
like
he's just
that
dropping
about him.
Bombs everywhere. I don't even know if Rambo does that in Rambo. I mean, First Blood Part 2, but
fair guess.
Yeah. I found it strange that it took him to like the 91st minute to get a yellow. I mean, that penalty, I understand it's a penalty.
Yeah.
That's a yellow, surely.
Yeah. Yeah, fair. I mean, it was late, wasn't it? It was a little bit late.
When you say he splits the camp, you then talk about how managers like him. Is it sort of like the managerial camp and the fan camp?
Yeah. It's right. The one camp is the technical area. Yeah. So.
And the other camp is the stands.
Yeah. No, actually, but even within the fan base, there are a lot of people that say, kind of, you know, he's underappreciated and a lot of people miss what he does. Because, you know, he's one of those players where his passing it often sort of keeps the game ticking, but when he gets one wrong, it's like it's a through ball for Jamie Vardy. Yeah. You know, so it's like it looks really bad.
But he, I think there is a way to be like a tough tackling, dominant midfield player and not have to make decisions quite as bad as that. Mm. I mean, because he was lucky to be on the pitch, really. But credit to Sky, by the way, for a Super Sunday. I mean, we give him a lot of stick when it's not a Super Sunday. Yesterday was a Super Sunday.
Two
really great games.
Yeah. Very important match in the Everton Cup. Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you aware of this thing, the Everton Cup, which is basically seventh
place? Race to seventh.
Yeah.
Would they be happy to be called after that?
Yeah.
I mean,
when we do a live show in Liverpool, we'll ask them.
Yeah, I want to talk a bit about this Harry Kane thing.
You'll go on.
The potential dive slash thing. Because the body
shape. Call him Harry Kane. That's very rude of you.
What do I call him?
The Harry Kane thing.
The Harry Kane thing, yeah. No, he's got a bit of that about him. He did that body shape thing against Newcastle, which I thought was a penalty.
Yeah.
And then he does it against Arsenal in a more exaggerated way, which clearly wasn't given as a penalty.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many of you guys here think that he shouldn't be doing that, or whether that's kind of a thing a striker should be doing to try and draw a foul, or whether it's dishonest. I'm just interested in what you think.
I think it is dishonest, isn't it? It's trying to sort of game the rules. I mean, we were right down the other end of it, so like when we saw him go over and it was Socrates leading over, it was like, and even on the first replay, it looked a penalty to me, but then you see it in slow motion, it's like, oh yeah, he sort of bought that one. And Socrates is even going, oh come on, before he's even hit the ground. It was great.
In midair, I think. He's waving his hands up. Quite nice.
What do you make of it, Marcus?
Yeah. Well, go on, Jim. Finish your points.
Well, I'm in two minds about that. Like, I don't know. I don't think he should be doing that. But then maybe this is sort of this daft sort of English exceptionalism that we have, where it's like, no, you must not game the rules. You must just be sort of, you know, stiff upper lip and following the rules.
Well,
all
you
time.
Say it's
like,
English.
All kinds of players do
it. Socrates was involved as well.
Well, quite. Yeah, but I mean, you don't. Are you happy to see your team win a penalty by somebody diving? I would prefer not to in an ideal world.
No, we don't want to see diving in the same way we don't want to see career-ending tackles. Yeah. You know?
And also, it's not really a dive, is it?
No,
it's faking a foul.
Trying to buy a foul.
Yeah, yeah.
Contact was made. So he had a right to a reaction, but it was just a bad interpretation.
Execution.
After the game, Harry Kane was like, oh yeah, it's just one of those things, you know. Sometimes, I can understand why the referee's not giving it. It's like, I think we all know that you can understand that.
Dele Alli should have had a pen.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
Dele Alli, though, isn't it? So, I mean, maybe this is my bias.
Yeah,
but
I think
when it's that funny, should it be a penalty? Don't tell me if I'm being blinkered,
Jim,
guys.
I think you should. We'll get to Chelsea, Sheffield United in a minute. They
should have had two penalties. That Xhaka challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, good on someone for getting in the way and stopping him, because he would have taken about four other players out.
Well, that's what should happen in the rules. You know, like in pool, you get two free shots. If it's that bad, you get two penalties.
Well, in the build up to Lacazette's goal. There was a strong suspicion of a Danny Rose handball in the area, so I think after the goal it should have been pulled back and Arsenal should have had a penalty as well. So
I mean,
would have levelled that up
after the shambles that happened. The first goal, Eriksen, it was just a poor,
it was ridiculous, and actually not great goalkeeping as well. Leno should have been stronger on that.
It was pretty crap.
It was the Spurs took advantage of Arsenal's poor defending, but I if Arsenal are going to do this, it's slightly reminiscent certainly of the first half, or a portion of the first half of the season when Leicester won the league, when Leicester would often go behind and they'd come roaring back and all that kind of stuff. Okay, Arsenal didn't happen against Liverpool, obviously. But if Arsenal can, they play this quite swashbuckling style under him. You've got players giving away fouls, but then they've got great quality up top and so on. I sort of, as a neutral, quite enjoying it down.
It's certainly been a pretty full-blooded beginning to the season. I think the frustrating thing, though, and the danger with it, is that if you look at the way the Spurs played in the first half, they were fairly reactive, and actually they ended up being 2-0 up. They didn't really need to assert themselves too much. And that's obviously going to be a problem for Arsenal.
I thought Arsenal's movement up top, Guendouzi's pass, I did not. If someone showed me like a screenshot of what was on at the time, I couldn't have picked that out.
It's amazing to even see it.
You know what? In the stadium, I thought that was a shot on that. Aubameyang had gone, let me fix that for you. But no, it was a great ball. What a man of the match display from him. He was very clearly standing.
Obviously, Liverpool, Man City are far away, and it's almost become they're normalising the ridiculous level of points.
So we think, you know, it might not go that way, but
so far, the teams below that: Arsenal, Spurs, Chelsea, Man United,
generous,
Newcastle.
Yeah, Newcastle. Yeah, I mean, I could carry on.
Name every team.
Eventually, get to the team I support. Yeah. I carry on. But they've all got quite obvious deficiencies, and Arsenal are clearly very, very fragile at the back. Spurs really look a bit imbalanced at the moment, and they're looking forward to this transfer window in Europe closing, of course. But they look a little bit leggy. Chelsea are terrible without the ball. Man United are just terrible. There's a lot of obvious deficiencies in these teams, which is making for quite good games. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but there was talk that I think only 7 or 8 weeks of the Premier League this season don't have a game between two of the top six in it. So we're going to see one of those games pretty much every week this year. And do you remember a few years ago, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, might even be a bit longer than that, when the games between the top teams were just really boring? Might have been when Mourinho was at Chelsea. I can't really remember the exact
phrase cancelling each other out.
It was just nil-nil all the time. I much prefer this.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm telling you that now.
I completely agree.
But what about Spurs going forward? Look, you sort of mentioned it there. Because you're right, as Jim said, they were reactive and they punished Arsenal in the first half, and fair enough. But they do look like they're lacking a little bit. And Eriksen still seems quite a key player for them.
He's really important. That's why I said on Thursday, Friday, he's got to play. He has to play. And obviously, he did play and he did well. Son gives him an extra dimension because he's so energetic and he can get past Kane and he can get around Kane at least and help him out. I didn't think Lamela had a great game. No. Davinson Sanchez was poor at the back.
To be fair, though, he's a temporary right back, isn't he?
They've got injuries.
But also, I think a real bright spark for Spurs.
Lloris was great, by the way.
He was. Also, Lo Celso coming on. He came on when Arsenal were really sustaining a period of pressure and he helped to ease that. And obviously, I think, you know, as the season goes on and he plays more games, he's going to be a big addition for them.
What did you think of Dani Ceballos when he came on?
He was good, but he was a little more muted than against Burnley, as you'd expect. He played a much better team. But he had a drive about him and an energy.
Yeah,
a lot of flicks, but they, as long as they're working, I don't mind it. Do you know what I mean? I wonder if he's sort of perhaps overplaying stuff, or certainly I can see a situation where he goes on to overplay things. As we saw, he wasn't so effective at Liverpool. But I think it's got to be him rather than one of those three more defensive-minded midfielders in the starting lineup, because there was a real disconnect between the midfield and the front three at the beginning of, for most of the first half, really.
There was another 2-2 draw in London on the weekend.
There was. Desmond.
And it was another great comeback, of course, from Sheffield United this time. Chelsea let slip a two-goal advantage to newly promoted Sheffield United. It's getting slightly worrying reading for Lampard, of course.
Yeah.
2-0 up against Sheffield United, no disrespect to Sheffield United, but Chelsea should be seeing the game out. And then, of course, Sheffield United came roaring back. The encouraging thing for Lampard is Tammy Abraham scored another couple of goals. So the young players that he has showed faith in, namely Mount and Abraham, have been putting in performances and have been among the goals as well. He gave a substitute appearance to 18-year-old Billy Gilmore as well. So there are encouraging signs for Lampard in some of the individual performances we've seen this season. But Luke, as you were saying, Chelsea look terrible without the ball. And essentially to be pegged back, and it's not the first time they've been pegged back this season at home. Remember Leicester City, who perhaps could have gone on to win the game. Sheffield United, they looked deserving of their point. And Chelsea, I don't know if it is a case of they've not clicked. Or I don't know, but I mean, what did you?
Well, they're just a team with a new manager who's trying a couple of decent. Really, the front three are all what you would describe as good young players. I mean, I can't remember how old Pulisic is. He's 20 and nil, something like that. So
Abraham second, hitting it so early and hitting it.
Great
hard.
Stuff. A confident strike, wasn't it?
I was really impressed with the sort of the hustle. Of both of his goals, really. He just made himself a nuisance in that position. And I mean, this is probably, maybe this is too much to say, but if he has a really good season this season, you almost wonder, could he go on to become like a Harry Kane style figure, where he sort of, you know, he looked like he was promising for a long time, and then it just suddenly all clicked and he blossomed really quickly. And Abraham's the same age that happened with Kane as well. So
Kane set the blueprint, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Abraham reminded me of him at the weekend, because he was just made a nuisance of himself, and he was just very, very, just very effective in that role. And
they're going to need him.
Absolutely, they are, aren't they? Because as you say, they look very almost timid without the ball. It's like they lack a little bit mental strength, to use a phrase from the past. And is it a big disaster though at this point? Because this is almost a free hit season for Lampard, isn't it? And for a lot of these players, because they are young, so there are going to be teething problems.
They've got to adjust their expectation. The front three are already young. And they played Tomori, started at the back at centre back alongside Zuma, who's not been in the Chelsea team at all because he's obviously been out on loan. Emerson's quite a new player for Chelsea. Barkley's not ridiculously experienced. He's also quite inconsistent. And what we're seeing is it's essentially a manifestation of exactly what you'd expect. A young team, they're inconsistent, they're inexperienced, and they get caught out. The Zuma own goal was a bit unfortunate, but I don't really see it. It's not a huge surprise, is it?
Well, it is a little bit, because when you're describing these players and you're saying they're a bit inexperienced, well, Sheffield United have got hardly any experience of the top flight. You know, I think that's the point. If this was Manchester United even, or even Burnley or something coming back, and this is a newly promoted side, and this is, when you say it's a free hit for Lampard, I mean, Luke just described a load of teams in the top six or whatever you said, Luke, that are going to play each other. They're going to have a lot tougher games than that. Again, no disrespect to Sheffield United. Yeah.
I don't think anyone is saying that they can finish like 17th.
No,
I mean it's not a free hit to that extent. But with your point about experience, I don't mean experience at the top flight. I mean experience in game management and stuff like that. You know, if Sheffield United go 2-0 down at Chelsea, there's an element of devil may care about that. Well, do you know what? We're going to lose at Stamford Bridge probably, let's just go out there and do it.
The weight of expectation is different.
Exactly, and the lack of experience for Chelsea means that they can't close out 2-0 at home to a promoted side. Yeah. That wouldn't happen if they had four or five players with a few more miles on the clock there. Mm. I mean, I don't know why. Did he bring Willian on quite late to manage the game? I can't fully remember, but I don't know why he didn't use a lot of
Willian's got to be disappointed that he's not starting that much. Yeah. He's got to play his way in there. But Sheffield United, they didn't look down and out when going 2-0 down.
No. Callum Ronson enjoyed his goal, didn't he?
Oh, love it. Yeah.
Absolutely loving it.
Well, they enjoyed both goals. I really enjoyed it. It was actually one of my favourite moments of the weekend. You're right. As soon as they got it to 2-1, it was, here we go, and the away end was absolutely jumping.
Chris Wilder was loving it as well.
Yeah. So he bloody should.
I'm a big fan of his bench attire.
Yeah.
Because he's not gone for the managerial tracksuit. Mm-hmm. He's gone for a sort of, almost like a, it almost looks like F1 pit crew. I don't know if we've seen that before. It's like a PE teacher.
I mean, he's fairly innovative, I think it's fair to say.
In terms of
tactics and all. And so, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, Premier League footballers are like finely tuned F1 cars nowadays. Why not?
You don't put diesel in a Ferrari, do you, Jim?
Yeah, certainly.
As Harry Redknapp said.
I think it's great that a manager like Chris Wilder, who is slightly older, well, not that old in terms of manager, but English manager and all, to see his tactical approach, to see what he's achieved and is doing at Sheffield United, it doesn't fit the mould. And I think that's really, really exciting for the just sort of perhaps new wave of kind of English managers. We're hoping, we're sort of desperately trying to kind of usher in a, you know.
But they've started off all right. I mean, they're mid-table.
Yeah.
And they've picked up results. I mean,
we have to mention Ender Stevens, by the way, who's superb down the left flank there. I mean, what a performance from him and got his team going. But Wilder said after the match, I don't want us to stand off teams. We obviously understand the teams we were up against and the journey we have been on. And he said, I don't want to keep going on about it, but I think it is fair to say 3 years ago we were bottom of League One. Now we're going toe-to-toe in the Premier League. And it's interesting that they did feel like they could go toe-to-toe with Chelsea. Now, if they go away to Anfield or Manchester City, will they be able to do that? But I mean, come on, you know, Barcelona have beaten 4-0 recently at Anfield, so you've got to have a bit of grace there. But to go away, Stamford Bridge there, and you can argue, Chelsea a little bit green and so on.
Ender Stevens spent a lot of his early career out on loan from Aston Villa.
Mm.
came down to Fratton Park to resurrect his career.
Right, was that what spurred him on?
100 odd appearances for Pompey. He's off to Sheffield United. Now he's playing the Premier League. You're welcome. No problem.
Resurrection in a sort of pet cemetery.
What were you worried about? Who's next? Who's next at the Academy of Football? Mason Mount. Oh, he's there as well.
Well, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's back in the England squad, and you know, he's got his Pompey connection. Or did he try and
hashtag no better than we've already got?
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, didn't want him. Didn't want him anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. Mason Mount called up, of course, to the
and deservedly so as well. Yeah,
there's been a few actually. James Maddison.
What do you make of Tyrone Mings?
That's the one.
Is it because he can play left back as well?
Maybe.
Because I can't see. I mean, having said what I was just about to say, I mean, I did see him play against Everton at the weekend, but I feel like Connor Cody should be a little bit hard done by. Played every minute last season.
Mm. I feel I have a couple of Villa friends who obviously watch them a lot more closely than I do, and they both said that Mings wasn't like just changed their season last year.
Yeah,
right. Basically the reason they got promoted. So,
all right. I mean, perhaps, I've got no beef.
Well, they bought him for big money. Yeah. And people were a bit like, "Well, that's a lot of money." But as you say,
yeah.
He was very crucial, and he's clearly a defender.
Southgate keeps an eye on people very, very, very closely, doesn't he? So I imagine this would have been quite well considered.
Exactly. Trust in Southgate.
Indeed. I think as well, it's worth pointing out as well that Kurt Zouma suffered loads of nonsense racist abuse on Twitter after this game, and this should not become normal. It's becoming regular, but it's so depressing.
Over the weekend, Jesus.
Yeah, it's so depressing when you hear
There's another thing I wanted to bring up on that. I know we're going to go on to Everton now.
Yes. Before
we do that, I just want to say, you know, none of this stuff exists in a vacuum, right? And we've talked a bit about this before, but I've actually started to find some of the things Graham Souness says quite uncomfortable.
You're not alone in that.
Yeah, there's been a few people over the weekend.
So he piped up a lot about Pogba, of course. Mm-hmm. And he went on some weird, made some weird points
about
Moise Kean. Yeah, but the thing about it was, is that he clearly has no idea of the situation.
Yeah. Mm.
So the situation, of course, very, very quickly, and perhaps I'll get James Horncastle to talk about it more on Thursdays on the Continent if we want to, but top line stuff. Moise Kean, I think he had a year left in his contract. They wanted to move players on because they had too many players for their Champions League squad, et cetera, et cetera. It was a good price. He wanted to go because the wages were good, all the rest of it. And Souness, without knowing anything about the situation, just essentially assumed that Moise Kean has got a bad attitude and you have to ask why he's done this and why that's happened.
And we've never heard that about him, have we? It's not like a Balotelli thing where he comes with a reputation.
And he needs to understand, Graham Souness, that he is an old white man talking about young black athletes in this way consistently. And at the very least, it's tone deaf.
It's approaching dog whistle.
I tell you what also
And that's
is.
Being generous.
But you've met Souness before, right?
It was years ago.
Okay. I've never worked with him.
And Marcus is white.
Yeah.
He said I had a terrible attitude as well. But he was absolutely spot on. But there's an important thing to say that people might say, oh, well, no, but hang on a minute, Pogba does have a bit of a bad attitude. Right. Oh, well, hang on a minute, though. He's just sort of saying, but you've got to be careful here, because it's a bit like years ago, it still kind of happens, is it's one of those sort of insidious ones where you have to, as you say, words matter, and you have to be careful. It's a bit like when people would describe black players as, "Oh, he's a beast," or "He's so quick," or "He's athletic." They'd never use the word "He's an intelligent player."
And
I think people are aware of that now. I hope they are anyway.
But now the replacement is just being like, "Oh, he's very charismatic." Isn't like I'm trying to think of like a player.
You could say Jamie Vardy, someone like that's quite.
Jamie
charismatic.
Vardy is not charismatic.
Well, not on the pitch he is.
But like they always
on the pitch he is. You've got to say,
isn't it a surprise that this black player is charismatic?
Well, Paul Gascoigne, though, was never described as charismatic.
I think it's like another thing that gets brought up in this situation is people going, well, look at how many black players Souness worked with or signed as a manager, but that means absolutely nothing.
Well, people say that about Ron Atkinson.
Exactly.
But I think the overall point, surely then, that we can all agree, is that what we're talking about here is that different things are expected for different colours of skin, essentially.
Yes.
So if you're a black player, you're expected... The expectations are completely different for some reason than if you're a white player, and that can't be right. That shouldn't be right.
I think
someone needs to have a word with Souness, because he's got a track record of doing this, and like I said, at the very least in the current climate, with all this other stuff's going on that you guys have mentioned, it's at very least tone deaf. And at the worst, it's dog whistle racism, essentially. And he needs to be very, very careful.
Right, let's talk about Everton versus Wolves. It was a decent match at Goodison. Richarlison had a lovely old time. He did punish Connor Cody early on, a little bit of a mix-up. Of course, Alex Iwobi scored on his full debut in the Premier League debut, for Everton. And Moise Kean got a first start, but it was all about Fabian Delph in that midfield, wasn't it, Petey?
No, it was all about Kean losing his boot and running without a boot for about five steps. And I was like, oh, God, run!
And then he slipped. Great attitude. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then he slipped and went, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Can't do this without boots.
And Connor Cody said, well, if you're not going to put me for England, I'll show you.
Yeah. Try and play it out the back.
Yeah. I loved Richarlison's finish, just shot into the ground. Anyone that shoots into the ground and pulls it off.
For some reason, I feel like David Platt used to do that quite a lot.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
But I mean, Everton are sort of them. They're getting up there now. I mean, they started off really well defensively. Now they've started conceding, but crucially,
yes,
they're scoring more.
Yeah, they are. And I think that the Evertonians will be, you know, they'll have an eye on the Everton Cup.
They will.
This season. They certainly will.
Why is it the Everton Cup?
I don't know. I think
because they always inhabit.
Yeah,
seventh, right.
Could be the Leicester Cup, though, couldn't it? Mm. Mind you, they're in third, so
and they did win the league not that long ago.
True, yeah.
You know,
did they win the league? I mentioned it.
It was also 1,000 years ago in football terms. Though, wasn't
I think because maybe one of the reasons is the last time Everton won a trophy was 1995, and perhaps people are slightly patronising.
I see.
Yeah,
but anyway, sorry about that, Everton fans. We thought we were excellent, and Fabian Delph, he was great in that midfield. He highlighted rightly on Match of the Day too. He's up against some canny operators in that Wolves. Midfield, of course, made more passes than anyone else in the match, and just gives a lot of defensive support to the centre halves. And so, no England call up though, but I suspect that Southgate has said maybe a bit like to Kyle Walker, you know,
I know what you've got for me.
Exactly.
If I need you, I'll just come find you.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you make of Wolves not winning a game so far this season in the Premier League?
Yeah,
they've been winning games when their defensive mix-ups happen with such
three
regularity.
3 points from four games.
But people are talking about the Europa League narrative, aren't they?
No,
that's been dusted off.
Yeah. Big Nuno said, nah.
Nah.
Have you seen who they're playing in the next round, though?
Yeah,
Torino.
Lovely.
That's lovely.
No, they knocked them out.
They beat them, weren't they?
Oh, sorry, I mean.
They beat them.
Who they did play? Torino.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, but it was good to knock out Torino.
Yeah.
I mean, they've not got much recent history in European competition. They do have history.
They're in a strong league, and they got beaten.
It's impressive.
Wasn't that Jimenez's like eighth or ninth goal of the season?
He certainly sorted my fantasy league team out.
Because of the Europa League?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah. Who do Wolves get in their group in the Europa League?
Wow, have a little look-see.
I'll have a look now.
They've got
Besiktas, Braga and Slovan Bratislava. They'll be confident to get out of that group.
They will, but that's a lot of travel as well, though,
travel.
Isn't it?
True, yeah.
That's what you've got to do, bruv.
Yeah, you've got to do it.
That's what you've got to
Man,
do.
Man United have got some travel. My God. Partizan Belgrade and Astana of Kazakhstan.
Hey. But with Daniel James whipping them into the top corner.
Luckily, the home fires are burning strong, so it'll be fine.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Dropped 2 points today, did I? Yeah.
Welcome back to the Ramble Football Ramble Daily, everybody.
Dropped 2 points today,
was that the old fella crying?
That was the old fella crying.
Sad about Man United.
Tickets are going fast for Ramble Live. We're coming to a town near you. We start on the 26th of September at Hackney Empire. We're looking forward to it. We're shooting a video tomorrow to support it.
Tell them.
Oh yeah, sorry. Well, I won't give any content.
I'm always revealing things.
Sorry. I'm just trying to give them a taste of the biscuit.
You'd be a terrible film director.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the trailer. It's 90 minutes long. Yeah. So come and see us.
Press junkets. And he was a ghost all along. Yeah, you're going to love it.
Yeah, like when Homer Simpson walks out of...
Here he goes again.
Hang on a minute.
Simpson spoilers.
Homer Simpson walks out of Star Wars. He's walking there by the tube and he gives him the... I can't believe he was his father all along. Anyway, 26th September is Hackney Empire. We're Hayes on the 27th, Alexander Palace on the 28th, Liverpool on the 3rd of October, Northampton on the 4th of October, Brighton on the 6th, Bournemouth on the 10th, London again on the 11th, Sheffield, Guildford, High Wycombe, Leeds, Newcastle, Norwich, Birmingham, Salford. Come along. It's going to be great.
They're going down to watch the Football Ramble Live.
There we go.
Ramble Live.
Couldn't have put it better myself. Mm. Four to score. Betway's four to score. Talk to me.
Bloody Nora, boys.
Talk to me.
we were halfway there.
So basically, first game of the season. First game of the weekend, I should say. Jim pulls out Sebastian Allaire in the bag. Scores first.
Bang.
So we're on. Pete Donaldson. Burnley v Liverpool. Chris Wood does score first.
Through the back door.
Oh, yeah. But at the wrong net. I checked the T's and C's. Does no count.
Oh, does it not?
No. Own goals don't
count. Did you actually think was going to be the case, Marcus Speller?
You picked the first scorer. Who was the first scorer?
Yeah, it was Chris Wood.
Fair play. It's not in the rules.
Early on in the game, he forced a save, I think, from Alisson Didio. He went close.
Own goals are ignored, so the next person to score counts as the first goal. we fell down then. But the point being, Everton Wolves, I went Raul Jimenez. He scored, but not first. And Marcus, you went Aubameyang who scored but not first. So all of our players scored.
We've done all right there.
That is a marked improvement.
Yeah. Is it a metaphor for the Football Ramble's last 12 years that all of our players scored and Pete's one got an own goal?
Not for me, I like it.
Yeah. And finally, Ree Betway. They picked up on us on Thursday, Marcus and Pete, the derby of eternal enemies, Ree Andros Townsend. And there's a market up there now of Townsend. So you can back him to score six or more
in the Premier League.
It's essentially over or under 5.5 goals as that manifests itself. It's under player specials on Betway, so check it out. Four to score this week was won by two customers.
Oh, wow.
They both called Allaire, Mane, Richarlison, Ericsson. And so they share the money. So good on them.
God, blimey, fair.
Ericsson, yeah.
So four to score. Betway.com/4to-score if you want to get yourself involved. Next week, I think it's international week, so there'll be more interesting opportunity. Mm. And if you want to back Pete on Andros Townsend or Marcus, you're welcome to do so on the player specials on the Betway website.
Lovely.
Love that. Now it's time for emails with Peter D.
It is indeed.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out.
Well done.
Stephen King, not that one, presumably.
It's
Hello,
the best
Ramblers.
Song ever, Pete. It's the best song ever. It's the song of 2019.
There'll be first dances up and down the land soon.
I went to a music festival this weekend. When I woke up this morning, I had that song in my head still.
Lovely.
That's how powerful it is.
Stephen King says, Hello, Ramblers. I just wanted to compliment you on your catchy new jingle and your expansion of the Ramble to your podcast domination.
All the emails will be what it sounds
while
like.
Working in Austria for the. Do you want emails about Sheffield United's goalkeeper kit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yes.
That sounds
right. Football podcast.
I thought it was a What Pete Spent 200 quid on podcast.
And you have the nerve.
To be fair, I would have listened
the
to that.
The thing is, Jim, Pete
just
has the nerve.
Just give you a budget of 200 quid every week and see what you come up with.
Pete has the nerve to semi-regularly refer to the Football Ramble in polite company as my vanity project.
No, I don't.
You do sometimes.
While working in Austria for the week of the World Rowing Championships, maybe the World Rowing Championships,
could be.
He doesn't say yes or no.
You'd win that, Pete.
I received a lovely voicemail one night. I thought I'd attach the voicemail for your attention, and thank you for having your lovely jingle follow me to Austria after already listening to the show earlier in the day. And the sound that came out of that man's phone, Stephen King's, was this.
You even show a football Wamble Daily Dakar.
Wamble.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
I didn't think that's a bad rendition.
I didn't think he was going to get there, but at the end he pulled it off. Yeah.
I would like to encourage more people to do that.
Yeah. Ryan Baldwin says, hi guys. I was wondering if you could clear something up for me. Whilst watching the Chelsea-Sheffield United game this past weekend, I noticed that both goalies had yellow kits on. I thought there was a rule against both keepers wearing the same colour kit. Can you shed any light, please?
Why are you mugging him off?
Could the keeper, if they've both got the same colour, could the keeper run up and confuse everyone?
Well, I guess
corners?
That's why the rule is apparently there. Yeah. Who knows? Well, apparently it's not there because it wasn't enforced. So. Don't know. Listen to a proper football podcast if you want to know
stuff
like that.
I love the thought of it being a tactic of sending the goalkeeper up and confusing everybody.
Yeah.
Then I don't think people get confused. People can say, oh, keeper's out, we can shoot on side.
Marcus, margins.
Margins.
Marginal gains. Tim Walker says, hello Ramblers, long time listener, first time emailer. In no small part, thanks to the brand new email jingle. Oh, stop, Tim.
If you're interested in how you get an email read out on this show, it's becoming abundantly clear, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't read any of the derision. Went to watch Jim's show at The Fringe last week for a second year in the row. Both were fantastic, by the way. Saw him the bar afterwards and tried to buy him a pint to congratulate him on a great show, but he needed to head off. My immediate thought was that he must be rushing to a bar to watch the second half of the Liverpool-Arsenal match. As it turns out, Jim was actually heading to dinner with his lovely mother. What a man!
Wow. Jim, that's lovely.
Yeah, the rest of my family were there as well.
Great.
But yeah, thank you for coming, pal.
Pal.
Yeah, it's a lovely old time.
Well, Jim, you're missing a trick here. Try and get the beer another time.
Yeah. Come to a Ramble Live show, ramblelive.com, and get me a beer then. I was hoping it wasn't the show where I lost my voice literally the moment I went on stage. Oh, that was a scratchy hour.
That is difficult. Finn on the emails has pointed out that Wolves have qualified for the Europa League, obviously, and they're in a group with, it sounds like a Pokemon evolution chain. Because how, like, you know, Pikachu becomes something else and becomes something else.
Yeah, I get
Charizard
it.
Charizard becomes something else, something else. Wolves are in a group with Wolfsburg and Wolfsburger.
Ooh,
this is enjoyable. Oh, sorry, I think this is before it was actual the group.
I've just said they're in with Besiktas Braga and Slovan Bratislava.
It's not funny, though, is it? That doesn't sound like a Pokemon chain.
Yeah, but you can't
it?
Just keep saying that aren't true because they're funny.
I disagree.
if you want to get to the show, this is how you do it.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
Oh, yeah. Thank you to everyone who got involved and said that I did Nakata in 2012.
Oh, yeah. On
2012, guys.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. Come on.
And we didn't get it right either then.
No.
So
but
we've learned.
This time.
So it took us 7 years to
absolutely.
Learn it.
Right, back to the Premier League, where Liverpool beat Burnley 3-0. I thought Burnley might put up a stern test. They weren't dreadful, but they lost 3-0. Because Liverpool were excellent again. Sean Dyche thought there wasn't much in it, though. The thing is with Sean Dyche, I sort of get what he means to an extent in the fact that they weren't dreadful, Burnley. But the problem is Liverpool are the European champions for a reason.
I don't think we should cover Liverpool or Man City games unless they play each other or drop points.
Well, yeah, but do you know what, though?
It's like Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi in that UEFA Player of the Year thing with Van Dijk, right? Van Dijk's a fine player, probably the best defender in the world. I've got absolutely no beef with him. Love watching him play, brilliant. He's not better. He has not been better than Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. But what's happened is they've lowered the expectations are so high that people are just bored of them now.
Yeah.
So they're trying to look elsewhere to give prizes. Liverpool Man City
Luka Modric benefited from that.
He did. He absolutely did. Mm. Liverpool Man City is the same. I just don't want to talk about him anymore.
Yeah,
too boring.
But I think you've got to be careful, though, and that's the reason why I wanted to mention Liverpool here, is when you like the likes of Messi and Ronaldo normalise brilliance. You can't shun it. You can't ignore that.
It's like us, really, in many ways.
Man City did draw a game, I suppose, as well. Mm. How is it like us?
Because we're brilliant and we've normalised it. We've raised everyone's games.
I thought you meant because we've shunned brilliance.
Yeah.
We don't want any of that. Yeah.
We've decided that's not for us.
But Liverpool have won 13 consecutive league games in a row for the first time ever in the club's history. If that's not worth a mensch.
If that's not worth a Premier League trophy.
Unbelievable.
It's what they might be saying in some sections of their Twitter support at the moment, potentially.
Oh, they're saying all kinds of stuff. Don't lift that rock off.
I haven't checked.
Do
leave
come
me out
and
of it.
See live at Liverpool, even if you just want to throw stuff at the other three.
If Liverpool win every single game between now and when are we playing Liverpool? Let me have a look.
October.
It's definitely October.
Yeah, it is October, Jim.
It's the 3rd of October.
3rd of October.
How many games are there between? How many Premier League games have they got between now and then?
Ooh.
Right, I'm going to check.
Give us a market.
In all competitions, they're playing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games before the 3rd of October.
Yes.
Admittedly, one of those is against MK Dons, but they're playing 6 games between now and then. Mm. If they win every single one of those games, I will buy 10 people tickets to our live show.
People in Liverpool shirts?
Yeah, if they're available.
That's our entire allocation for our comps. How dare you, guys. How dare you do it?
If they win every single game between now and then, I will buy 10 tickets to that show for people.
Might not have the choice, mate. If ramblelive.com, people go over there and buy their tickets already.
Exactly.
So that's true.
But then have to buy them off other people.
We do know that Pete likes to buy people drinks at the live shows. And if he sees you buying more than him, is he going to do a Sadio Mane?
The listeners are in clover.
Very unhappy.
The listeners are in clover, mate. Yeah. They're going to win either way.
Let me segue. Sadio Mane seemed very unhappy with Mo Salah. By the looks of things, didn't he?
But are people just looking for a little...
No, I think it's about time.
He was screaming.
I think it's about time Mane blew up because he seems like a bloody lovely chap.
Yeah.
And to see him like that, you thought something has annoyed him.
Yeah.
And I'm on Mane's side because he just doesn't seem like the type of guy who's going to get that ticked off about something. Although Roberto Firmino's little look in the tunnel, if you saw that footage.
That was funny,
it was absolutely glorious.
But I think it's not unreasonable, though, is it? Because Salah should have played Mane in that scenario that everyone thinks that he's talking about. And if there is a rivalry between them in terms of who's going to get the most goals, that's okay up to a point. But if it's costing you those goals in the first place for the team, then that's not great, is it? So
that's something that needs
to be managed.
But I quite like what Ian Wright said, actually, when he was talking about his partnership with Mark Bright, a very famous one for Crystal Palace, of course. And he said that, you know, Mark Bright used to say, if I'm in a better position than you, you've either got to score or at least go very, very close. Mm. Because if you pass it to me, I will almost definitely score. And I think with Salah, you know, the game, I think there's an element of he thinks, oh, we're already up.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine. But you've got to be careful. You've got to put teams away.
Definitely. Mm.
And I think
difference can make a difference.
What was the score when that happened? Was it 1-0?
I can't remember. I think it might have been 2.
Okay.
But either or, we've seen teams overturn those deficits before.
How many times have we talked on this show about at the very top level it's decision making? It's about making the right decision under pressure. You mentioned Lo Celso earlier, I mean against Arsenal. To me, the most exciting thing about Lo Celso is he looks really calm.
Yep.
And it looks like he can take the ball in tight spaces and make the right decision. At the top level, when you're trying to win games, that's what you need. Now, okay, it might only be Burnley have shown that they can beat teams.
Yeah. But I never agreed with that thing that often strikers would say. No,
you've got to be selfish.
Got to be selfish. And number one. No, I don't agree. You've got to make the best decision. Yeah. And one thing that someone may be able to disprove this with tapes on Sergio Aguero or whatever, but with Guardiola sides, they will always make sure the ball goes in and they don't really care who does it.
Mm.
So I don't know. We will see if this becomes a thing between the two.
I enjoyed Jurgen Klopp. My favourite bit this match was after the match where Jurgen Klopp was told that Alexander-Arnold's goal had been given as an own goal. Right. And he went, huh?
Oh, he was fuming.
Well, he had
his face dropped.
Yeah, but he had Alexander-Arnold with the four to score.
when a mask slips with someone?
Yeah.
Went, that was like a slipping of a mask. It was terrifying.
He was Mr. Smiley, normal Klopp, and he's like, huh?
What?
Like, you can see, he'd actually be quite scary.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he's big. Oh, and when he gets angry, I'd be like, oh, I've upset Klopp.
No, he's not all nicey-nicey.
Someone, I can't remember it was who said it. I might have heard it on the radio, or one of you guys said it, that when you see Klopp giving players a hug on the touchline and stuff. Yeah. Was it you saying it?
Yeah, it was someone I was talking to.
Yeah, they're not always, he's not always giving them a ruffle. He's saying, well, this is what I need you to do, kind
of
thing.
He's grabbing them saying, oi, now you've let me down a couple of times here, you know, kind of
Yeah. Pass to Sadio.
Yeah. Well, I'll cut your fucking brake cord, you prick.
Yeah, exactly. You want teeth to look like mine?
Yeah.
I will withhold the name of the surgeon.
The tooth surgeon.
The dentist is what I meant to say. Of course. But that links us excellently into the championship, of course.
No, it doesn't.
Time is ticking away.
We'll say that then. Yeah.
You can't just ignore segue by saying, of course, all the time.
You have prorogued the podcast.
I thought I'd got away.
And I'm all for it. Because anything against it, Jim, is fucking Project Fear, in my opinion.
Absolutely right.
Speller means speller. Get on with it.
Great win for the Swans.
Was it, though? Or was it one of the largest muggings we've seen this season?
It was a great win for the Swans.
It was the worst goal you'll see in that league all season. Yes. It was dreadful.
How old do you think Wayne Routledge is?
Oh, he's 54.
He played for Portsmouth in 1983.
He 21. Played for Newcastle when he was like 29.
What year was that? He's a 1947
prospect.
You're all wrong. He's 34.
Oh.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I know, Jim. Thank you.
He's a promising young 34-year-old.
Thank you, Jim, for taking the essence of that.
I see what you're doing.
90th-minute winner. I mean, they're top after six games with 16 points. It's impressive, considering they lost Daniel James and Ollie McBurney, crucial players for them, and their manager. Yeah, 10th last season.
That's right.
But Leeds did batter them.
It was absolutely ridiculous. It was like hilarious. The Alamo.
It was
like Custer's last stand, where Custer inexplicably wins with a last-minute kill.
Well, Bielsa said after the game, he said, we created enough chances to deserve two or three goals. The chances the opponent team, love that, had was in relation to the corners and more from the second balls after the corners. We had a high possession of the ball. We attacked with calm. This is the analysis of the game.
And that's it. End of story.
This is analysis.
Yeah.
Anyone comments any further on this game is incorrect.
Yeah. It was relentless.
That's fake analysis, fig analysis.
It was relentless. It was overwhelming. And to put it in perspective, if you go now on the Sky Sports app and watch the highlights of the game, the only feature that Swansea are part of is when they score in the 90th minute.
Yeah.
Everything else
is a shot, isn't it?
Yeah,
from
basically,
Leeds.
Yeah.
But their manager Cooper was loving it. He was saying it's the perfect away performance. Clean sheet and 1-0 win. I do think
that Steve Cooper does a huge amount of credit. We talked about him last week
and the
story and his kind of journey through to where he is now. Done a fantastic job at youth level for England and all the rest of it. And you know, sometimes, as we've said before, and there's lots of people have said before, you're under the cosh, you're up against it, and you win. It's a great situation to be in. But I don't think Bielsa on Monday morning, Bielsa will be saying to Leeds, "Don't worry about it. Carry on the same way we're going." Mm. That happens sometimes. We were by far the better team. If we carry on like that, we're gonna get promoted.
But if it happens again,
you're all fucking fired.
Well, that's the analysis of the game.
Speaking of the Sky Sports app, has the EFL highlights always been like last season? Were they on the native YouTube?
I'm not sure.
Sky have just started putting all of the EFL highlights. Long-awaited bit of realistic common sense about how the modern football works.
They've been available on the Sky Sports app for a few seasons now, just with no commentary. Yeah. Is there commentary on the YouTube one?
Oh, I don't know, but I think so. I think they just cut up the normal kind of goals highlight packages and
bit put of common
them in
sense, Petey.
Yes,
that's what we want.
Yes,
bit of common sense.
Absolutely.
Marcus.
Is it something to do with EFL and Quest though? Is it Quest you've got the EFL highlights?
I don't know, but it's on the Sky Sports YouTube page, and I just think it's really common sense because people can horse that on Twitter and stuff like that. Because obviously, Twitter pages get taken down all the time for people just posting goals and stuff. Just a nice touch.
Nice
and
to see
grown up in a world where nobody's grown up about rights management.
Petey's nice final thoughts on rights management. Marcus, would you like
Marcus
to hear a section?
To move on.
Would you like to hear a section from Pete every week on rights management?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Shout out footballrealmday.com.
Yeah, get your suggestions in. Charlton Athletic have started the season superbly, unbeaten in their opening six matches. They won 2-0 away to Reading. They're second on 14 points. They were promoted last season. They were promoted because Portsmouth weren't.
Yeah, partly that. Yeah.
Does that annoy you, the fact that Charlton are now making kissy faces at the Premier League?
Portsmouth started the season like a bunch of absolute idiots, so they deserve everything they get.
Considering all that's happened at Charlton, though,
it's a fantastic achievement.
What an achievement! Mm-hmm. You know,
they've been very, very good to go away. Reading aren't really particularly fancied this season, are they? But Reading to go away to Reading and win, and Reading were okay in parts. It was quite an even game from what I saw.
Absolutely,
they've started really well. Lee Bowes done a fantastic job so far, and I think there was a period of time in the summer where it's such a a circus behind the scenes at Charlton. Hadn't he left? And then he came back again.
That's right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The disruption there is for, there for everyone to see, but he's obviously doing a great job.
Huddersfield fancy him for the next manager.
Oh, do they?
Do they?
Oh, boy, so that could throw a spanner in them works.
Could do. Could bloody well do. All right, let's go north of the border. First Old Firm derby of the season, predictably, was a Celtic win. Neil Lennon again beating Rangers. He said that his team delivered a masterclass in terms of the Old Firm, and I suppose you have to say they did. They didn't give Rangers anything. There was question marks since Celtic's loss against Cluj when they shipped a lot of goals at home, of course. Didn't give Rangers a damn thing, and then they took their chances. Steven Gerrard believed his boys were below par.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he's a sort of very, very sort of typically honest. And he's been at Rangers, he's been almost like overly honest.
He comes across as a little bit joyless in some of the interviews.
And he said, but to be fair to him, he did say he'd take the fair share of blame himself, didn't he?
He did, but I think he's almost, he is desperate, understandably so, as everybody is at Rangers, to try and just stop Celtic winning. Mm. And it just appears that Celtic, they've got that little bit extra quality.
Well, I've got a little bit of audio with his, with Steven Gerrard and his presser.
We dropped 2 points today, didn't I? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they dropped three, you've got that wrong.
Well, he's very emotional, he's forgotten.
Yeah, true enough.
He was. He said that he also said that he had a pop at his player who got sent off late, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, oh, that was a dreadful foul.
He said, I think he was trying to appease the fans, but you don't do it like that. You do it by creating and scoring goals, not by kicking people when the ball is 10 yards away. But the thing is, I respect the honesty. The kid who got sent off, it was terrible, and he made a mistake there. I wonder whether he'd be best served for the manager to be a little bit softer on him.
Mm. I like you call him a kid, though.
And if everyone remembers...
He's still a football player, so he's young to me.
Everyone remembers Steven Gerrard playing as well. He had a bit in him.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. There was no banner of Pope John Paul II in the away end this time, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, who makes that gigantic thing?
The Legia fans.
It was very well rendered.
Arthur Boric, very well rendered. The holy goalie in the away end as well. It's such shithousery.
It really is, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Are you suggesting the guy who got sent off isn't a kid? Is that what you're saying?
Well, how old is he then?
I can't remember.
He's 34. He's 34, like Wayne Routledge.
Indeed.
Did you see Eric Cantona at the...
Good. So good.
So great.
The announcement of the Champions League.
Get him in a management role.
Yeah. It was what I loved about it so much was the time that he took. Like he really chose his words. It was almost like it was reciting from King Lear to begin with, wasn't it? But he had a sort of almost Harold Pinter feel to his delivery. Yeah.
And they ended with "I love football."
Yeah, just the baffled
faces. Dressed as like a man you would see in a remote French farm.
Key for me.
Spending some time to just work on his painting.
That was key for me.
And his cedar,
because you want to get to the stage in your life and career. Well, you can essentially ignore any dress code.
Yeah.
You're still going to let me in. Yeah. I'm Eric Cantona. Yeah. So I like flat cap, open that linen shirt, glasses on my
head. Not going to iron that shirt.
No, no bother. No point.
Ronaldo and Messi just looking on, going, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
That used to be
Eric Cantona.
I was with someone at the weekend who was at the awards, at the draw, and he said that... everyone was just baffled.
Yeah.
Absolutely baffled. I think they all expected it to be a joke.
Right.
Because of some of the stuff he said in the past.
Right.
And they were sat there in anticipation for like a punchline. Mm. And the punchline was just, I love football. And I suppose from Eric's point of view, he thinks if you just say that at the end, it could be fine.
Never get him to do a best man.
Do you think that's what he did? He suddenly struggled. He thought, what would Patrice Evra do here? But he didn't follow through. He should have just gone, I love this game.
Yeah,
he
didn't.
He just went, I love football.
Mm. Did you guys see, there are many people listening to this show who will... who would have played football the weekend. In fact, there's people in this room who play football the weekend. Pete Donaldson, one of them. And sometimes it's great to see a truly terrible thing happen by a professional football player.
Right.
And Sebastian Coates, who plays for Sporting, we went to see him last season, of course.
We did.
He used to play for Liverpool, fans will remember him. Not hugely fondly, but they will remember him. Sporting lost 3-2 at home to Rio Ave at the weekend.
Now that's a disaster.
Yeah. What kind of day at the office does Sebastian Coates have? I hear you ask me. Gave away 3 penalties and got sent off.
Wow.
He gave away 3 penalties in the same game and got sent off.
I think for the second offence, you just get sent off anyway. If you've given away 2 penalties, you're a liability. Why isn't the manager brought him off? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the penalties was potentially a bit dive-tastic.
Mm. Right. Where was that in the three?
The second one, I think. The second one was minimal contact.
The thing is
really.
the two... the second and third Real Ave goals were late on. I mean, the winning goal was in injury time. So it was an absolute disaster.
A mare.
But look, I mean, Sporting losing at home to a side that aren't Porto or Benfica is bad. And also, Porto and Benfica have dropped points this season as well. So it's kind of like, what an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a terrible, terrible day at the office.
It's piss poor.
I might get Andy Brassel to talk about it properly on Thursday.
Yeah.
You do that, Sunshine.
If I can remember.
You do that, big boy.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. It's time to go. It's the end of the ramble on Football Ramble Daily. It's been a bloody pleasure having you with us. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. We'll see you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
We dropped 2 points today, did I? Yeah.
Endlessly mocking an old man.
grow up.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.